All right, can anybody pick me up out there? Fritz Bergen, bloodandface.com. 21. No, it's not the 27th of March, 2021. This is a sound check. Sound check. You can go to Blood and Faith and click on the live link. It says we're on air. But again, this is testing. Testing. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. Anyone there? I'm going to add Sandy as a Sandy Berger. Invite. I'm going to add Agent 750. I'm going to add Fritz stuff. Okay. Anybody getting any emails or any sign that they're out there? Can you hear me live? Okay. Now, did you click on the link at bloodandfaith.com?
Yeah.
That's how you got it? How about you, Peach? Yeah, Mama could try that. It'd be fun. I'm going to get some water. So you can hear me live. Okay. All right. Well, that's good news. It's still a little early. We got about 6 minutes. But so you clicked on bloodandfaith.com, clicked on the live link, and you can get this live right now. Hey, I'm excited about that. That's really cool. How's the sound quality here? You want to try some headphones? Let me give you the headphones.
No, but my mic is still. Oh, I see. But it sounds good at first. It just starts.
The reverb, yeah. I just want to make sure that we've been doing this for a few weeks now and with varied success. I just want to make sure it's working. How you doing, son? Doing good? I heard from Hope. Let me see what she said. Lars may be on his way to Germany. Like on his way to Germany. Like on his way to Germany. No, I don't think coming back here. I think maybe for... We'll talk about it offline. You hear? Good sound? What's that? Okay. Good. Yeah, well, we'll start in 5 minutes. It's 10:25 over here in Colorado. So we're going to wait till 10:30. But this is a sound check to let y'all know that we are here. And we'll be starting soon. Welcome, Tempest. Welcome, Leif. Welcome, whoever's out there. Again, we're not going anywhere. We're going to start at 10:30 just to let everybody else gather around, and we're going to be doing Matthew 11 and 12. You know, it's funny how I start on things, and, you know, it looks like one chapter, and you get started, and I was like, man, there's a lot here. I don't know if I can do 12, but we're going to go for 12 today, too, because that's what I said I would do. Welcome, Car King. And we'll just wait a few minutes until 10:30, my time. Here in Colorado. We'll begin in 2 minutes. Doing a great job. I'm proud of you. I'm glad the young man there got up and got home. And the youngest man, are you hanging in there? Are you awake? You look good. 10:29. We'll begin in a moment. How are the grades there? I'm sure they're good. I'm sure they're doing good. Glad this is working. It seems to be working for as far as sound out there. If anybody's out there on the internet, if you can't hear me, let me know. If you can hear me, let me know. That would be great. It's 10:30. Good morning, everybody. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com, 7th of March, 2021. God bless this time. Bless this time together as we get in your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 11. What did we talk about last week? Matthew chapter 10. What did Jesus tell the disciples to do? Huh? Follow him, and they're going to go out and preach the gospel. Remember that? They had to go out and preach the gospel. So, Matthew 11, chapter 1. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, so chapter 10, he gave them the instructions. Chapter 11, when Jesus had finished giving instructions to the 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Whose cities? The disciples' cities. Last week we went over a map of Palestine, the map of the Promised Land, the map of where Jesus Christ was born, where he preached, and I should probably for next week get a big print out of that. But we learned that he was born in the south and he died in the south. Here's a map. He's born in the south, he died in the south, down in the land of Judea, the land of the Jews in Judea. But he lived and he did most of his preaching up here in Galilee, way in the north part. It was different. People could distinguish very clearly between the people from Galilee and those who were not from Galilee. Jesus Christ was known as Jesus of Nazareth. He's also known as Jesus the Galilean. He was never known as Jesus the Jew, which is interesting in and of itself. Verse 2, chapter 11 of Matthew. Now, when John, while in prison, heard the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to them, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" So here's John the Baptist. He is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He's the forerunner of the Messiah. He's teaching and preaching, and he's baptizing. That's why he's known as the Baptist. Did that make sense to you, Leif? Why do they call John the Baptist John the Baptist? Baptized a lot of people. Who's the most famous person he baptized? Yeah, he baptized Jesus Christ. Okay. Are you expecting one, or shall we wait for somebody else? Verse 4, Jesus answered, he said to them, "Go and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who does not take offense in me." There's a lot here. We're going to start with Isaiah 35, verse 5, though. Okay, Jesus Christ is essentially quoting what Isaiah said when he says this. Isaiah 35, verse 5, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy." All right, so what he's saying is to John is, look, I'm fulfilling the scriptures. This is exactly what it says in Isaiah. Isaiah 35, the lame will hear, the dumb will, the lame will walk and the dumb will hear. And so he's saying, yes, and the reason isn't just because I'm saying so, but I'm fulfilling those scriptures. And I want to mention Isaiah chapter 9. Anybody in Isaiah chapter 9? Want to turn to Isaiah chapter 9? Why don't you read 9, 1 through 7. All right, I'm going to summarize that a little bit for the folks online. Isaiah 9, "By the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." So Isaiah is prophesying that something good is going to happen up in this northern part, of the promised land, by the way of the sea, up in Galilee, not necessarily way down south in Judea. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us." Who was that? It's Jesus. "And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." All right, Eternal Father? Jesus Christ says in John chapter 10, verse 30, "I and the Father are one." Okay, Jesus Christ can't deny this. He and the Father are one. Right here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he will be called Eternal Father. When Jesus Christ showed up, God showed up. "There will be no end to the increase of his government." And here's the next big thing. "Blessed are those who do not take offense in me." This is Matthew 11, verse 6. "Blessed are those who do not take offense in me." And believe it or not, you guys probably believe it after the last little while, but Jesus Christ is offensive. He offended a lot of people. He continues to offend a lot of people. And Jesus Christ says here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, blessed are those who do not take offense in me. What is he referring to? Well, I'm going to go to Psalms chapter 118, verse 22. It talks about the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So the builders, the Jews, they rejected Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Is that coming through good in your earphones? Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested cornerstone, a costly stone for a foundation, firmly placed, and whoever believes in it will not be disturbed. This is Jesus Christ. He is the stone. He's the rock. He's the cornerstone. He's the foundation. And a lot of these scriptures run off of exactly what is said right there. He's the cornerstone. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Leif, would you like to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6?
Yes.
We're getting ready for Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Let go ahead. 1 Peter 2:6.
Chapter 2, verse 6. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I am laying in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and the only one who believes in him shall be not put to shame.
That's it. Okay, and that is a direct quote from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. I'm going to read it again. For this is contained in Scripture. And then he essentially quotes Isaiah, but this is in 1 Peter 2, 6. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Believe in who? Jesus Christ. Verse 7. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Okay, who are the builders? It was supposed to be the Jews and the Pharisees and the chief priests, but they rejected the chief cornerstone. They rejected the chief cornerstone. They rejected him. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Okay, this describes Jesus Christ. He's a stone of stumbling and he's a rock of offense. It bothers people. Why might it bother people? Acts 4, verse 11.
He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone.
Verse 12, please.
And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among mankind by which we must.
Again, quoting Isaiah, Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders. So Peter's preaching to the Pharisees. He's preaching to the Jewish leaders. The stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one other. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. This bothers people. This bothers so-called Christians. It bothers the Jews a lot. Bothers the Muslims. There is no salvation. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Romans chapter 9, verse 32, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. This is important. Jesus Christ mentions this, and it is so important that over and over and over, his Holy Spirit inspired men to write this down. It's critical. They stumbled over the stumbling stones, just as written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Jesus Christ is the stone of stumbling. He is the rock of offense. People want Jesus Christ to be the nice naked guy on a cross that loves everybody and doesn't hurt anybody, doesn't do anything, but he's a stone of stumbling and he's a rock of offense. Jesus Christ does not want to play that role, and we're going to get to that. And again, Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus Christ said, did you never read the scriptures? This is Jesus to the Jews. Did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And this came about from the Lord, and it was marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43 of Matthew 21. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to another. In Greek, it's ethnos. Ethnos, another ethnic group. Usually it's translated another people, another people group. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a different ethnic group, producing the fruit thereof. And you've heard me talk about this quite a bit. Verse 44, and he who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. Verse 45 of Matthew 21, when the chief priests, now this is key, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable from Jesus Christ, well, let me ask you guys, who do you think Jesus Christ was talking about? When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they understood that he was talking about them. And they sought to seize him, but they were afraid of the people because the people considered him a prophet. We lose sound? Better now? Okay. All right, that's important. And of all the places it went, it bore the most fruit in Europe. Right, and I've talked a lot about this. Your ancestors, who brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to Latin America? It was the Spaniards, the Europeans. All right, all of Latin America converted to Jesus Christ because somebody was faithful in the vineyard and produced the fruit thereof. Okay, that's what Jesus said. I'm going to give it to a different ethnic group that's going to produce the fruit thereof. Okay, back to Matthew 11, verse 7. It's talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he says, this is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. And then he goes on, and he's talking to the crowd. He's talking to the mass of the average people. And, you know, people have different expectations of how you're supposed to be. People had a lot of expectations of how Jesus is supposed to be. They still do. A lot of people want Jesus to be the naked man on the cross, who's harmless and doesn't offend anybody, and just he's just there to sort of be the kind of guy that they want him to be. And Jesus Christ addressed that. He says, "What shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to the children and say, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge for you and you did not mourn. A dirge is it's a sad song that you sing at a funeral. So people had different expectations of what they thought Jesus Christ should do. Everyone wants Jesus to dance to their own music. He's got a way of doing what he wants to do. And he's in Matthew 11, verse 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said he has a demon. And again, we talked about this last week. A lot of people accuse Jesus Christ of having a demon. Seems to be a common theme. They accuse John the Baptist of having a demon because he wouldn't eat and drink. Okay, and then here comes Jesus. He eats and drinks. Jesus eats and drinks. He's hanging out with the sinners. Talked about that last week. He's hanging out with probably really, really good men, honorable men. And because he didn't want anything to do with the Pharisees, the Jews, the leaders of the Jewish religion, which is not the religion of God. And we've covered that before extensively. Pharisees were a group of people, and they prided themselves on not sinning according to their own traditions. And they developed an oral tradition that replaced the words of Moses and the law and the law and the prophet. Okay, and it's known as the Talmud. And it was an oral tradition for centuries before Jesus Christ. And then a couple centuries after Jesus Christ, they wrote it down. And it essentially replaced the Holy Scriptures. And so they adhere to this tradition. that God didn't set up. John comes neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and wine drinkers. All right? So he's not necessarily going to play the role you want him to play. Verse 20, Matthew chapter 11. Then he began to announce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. These are towns in the northern part of the Promised Land where he and the disciples were preaching. If the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Why is Tyre and Sidon important? Because they weren't recognized as part of the Jewish nation at that time. They were Gentiles, most of the people that lived there. Not all of them, but a lot of them were. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. So there's judgment not only for individuals, but for people groups and for places. I don't fully understand how this works, but there's judgment in history, and there's a judgment on the judgment day. God is just as interested in the collective as he is in the individual. I think this is one of the things that the church has missed over the centuries. God is just as interested in the nation, in the group, in the millions, that as he is in the individual. That's an important thing that the church needs to get back to. I want to disciple the nations, bring discipline to the nations, not just to individuals. And we become so individual-focused that we give up on the bigger picture. And that's not necessarily healthy. Verse 23, in you, Capernaum. What was Jesus' town? We studied that a couple weeks ago. What was the town of Jesus? Capernaum. He grew up in Nazareth. He left. And he made Capernaum his town. Lived right on the lake, right on the sea. He liked it there. You got mountains and sea. I mean, perfect. It's like Flathead Lake in Montana or anywhere else. It's just gorgeous. But they didn't necessarily accept him. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted in the heaven, will you? You will descend into Hades. How does that happen with the whole city? I don't know. When I figure it out, I'll preach a sermon on it. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which had occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Sodom is an important city. And, you know, I think, have y'all heard the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Leif, Aurora, okay. Sodom and Gomorrah, this is where Lot settled, very rich, wealthy, and their riches and their wealthiness corrupted their hearts, and they turned to very base homosexuality. And it wasn't just a couple 40-year-old dudes in the closet. Okay, it was a whole freaking community. It was the whole culture. It was the whole city. And when the angels showed up to get Lot out of the city, it said old and young showed up to have their way with these angels. And when Lot tried to turn them away, he said, well, we'll just have our way with you, old and young. This was a culture that had corrupted the children. They went after the children. You've heard me talking about a culture that targets the children, as this culture is today in the United States, with public schools promoting sodomy and the sexual mutilation of human beings, including children, transsexualism. And when you target the children, that enters a whole new class of attention that you will receive from the Almighty in judgment. And repeatedly throughout the scriptures, Jesus Christ specifically mentions Sodom. It's a big deal. Don't think he doesn't. Nevertheless, I say it will be more tolerant for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. So those who reject Jesus Christ as God in the flesh, as the creator of the universe, as Isaiah says, as the eternal father, it's better for Sodom than it is for those cultures and those peoples. And here's one of my favorite. Come to me, this is Jesus Christ, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it 50 times. People say, I don't want to live in a theocracy. I don't want to live in a theocracy. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I don't want to tell anybody to tell me how my life's going to be. I don't want them to impose their morality on me. And yet we live in a society that every day it gets stricter and stricter and stricter on what you can even say. You can't even have an opinion on things without losing your job. Can't be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic. Otherwise, they're going to hammer you and call for violence against you. And so when you say, I don't want anybody telling me what to do or what to say, what do you think we're living under in this culture today? You've got the new Pharisees running around imposing burdens upon other people that they can't even keep themselves. They can't even keep these things. Jesus said, this is for individuals and for cultures and for nations. Come to me. He says, yeah, you're going to have my yoke. You're going to have my burden, but my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right, now we're going to get to the good part. Matthew chapter 12, and we'll close out with this. Let me open up the scriptures here. So the Pharisees, who are the Pharisees? Somebody tell me who the Pharisees are. Teachers of the Jewish religion. They become the leaders of the Jewish religion. What I've been reading online, Wikipedia, and different places, they become essentially the founders of rabbinical Judaism. I lost sound. Is that better? Still lost sound? Huh? Can you hear me? Anybody out there? We're good? Okay. So the Pharisees, here's the Pharisees again. You know, here's the Pharisees are out there. These are the people, you know, Jesus said, look, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. And you get the Pharisees imposing all these burdens on people. Jesus Christ goes around healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. And all the Pharisees can do, all the Jews can do is say, oh, but you shouldn't have done that on the Sabbath. You broke our little law. All right. So these are the people that are always accusing. You're breaking some, you're doing some sin. You're breaking something that they don't like. Jesus, aware of this, verse 14. Matthew 12, verse 14. But the Pharisees went out and they conspired against him. And if, as you read into the Gospels, you'll find over and over again, these folks are trying to kill Jesus Christ from the time he was born until the time they finally did. But this is what was written through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Those are people that aren't the Jews. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the street. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, till he leads justice to victory. And in his name, who will hope? The Gentiles will hope. Verse 22, then a demon-possessed man, so here's a demon-possessed man, who was also blind and mute, was brought to Jesus, and Jesus healed him, so that the mute man spoke and saw. Is that a big deal? Okay, demon-possessed man, he can't see and he can't speak. Okay, and Jesus Christ instantly heals him. The crowds were amazed, saying, this cannot be the son of David, can it? So they knew this guy was important. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, this man casts out demons by Beelzebul and the ruler of demons. Okay, there's inversion. If you read the Gospels, there's complete inversion. One side's accusing the other of serving the devil. Okay, there's no, I mean, it is stark. There is not a, they don't walk along a common path. The Pharisees are constantly accusing Jesus Christ of being full of demons. And Jesus Christ finally came out. We talked about that last week, John chapter 8. He said, hey man, y'all of your father, the devil. So the Pharisees say, this man cast out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom that is divided will not stand. He says, if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, How do your sons cast them out? This reason they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, how do you think Jesus Christ cast out demons? He says it right here, by the Spirit of God. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, move down to verse 31. Matthew 12, verse 31. Therefore I say to you. So who's he talking to? The Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, the leaders of the religion of the Jews. Therefore I say to you, any sin or blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. All right? Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be given him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. In the context of the story, Jesus Christ is casting out demons by the Holy Spirit. The Jews come along and say, you're casting out demons by Beelzebul, the chief of the demons. Okay? Jesus Christ responds, and he says, you can speak against me, and that's fine. But if you blaspheme and slander the Holy Spirit, that's the unforgivable sin. And when I was growing up, every once in a while you'd have somebody come along and say, oh, I think I did the unforgivable sin, and they're repenting of, you know, 55 sins that they probably never did in the first place. And that's not in the context of what Jesus Christ was talking about. This is the context, is this what he's saying. Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Okay, what happens to trees that don't bear good fruit? If you go back to the beginning of the Gospels, they're cut down and they're cast into the fire. Cast into the fire. Verse 34, you brood of vipers. Jesus Christ is talking to the Pharisees. You brood of vipers. Genesis 3:15. God says, I'm going to put enmity between the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, and the seed of the serpent. Okay, the seed of the serpent. So Jesus Christ is calling them the seed of the serpent. You brood of vipers. Elsewhere, Jesus Christ calls them directly serpents. Hey, there's two bloodlines. There's two bloodlines. You want to make sure you're of the right bloodline. You brood of vipers. So again, in context, all in context. You, how do you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And I think we'll close out for there. But so there you go. There's... the unforgivable sin. There's no peace between Jesus Christ and the Jews. They're diametrically opposed. One side accuses the other side of the exact same thing. Jesus says you're brood of serpent. They say you're full of Beelzebul. Jesus said if I'd cast out demons by the Holy Spirit, they said no, you don't. It's by the devil himself. And so there's no peace. There's no peace. There's enmity, complete enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And with that, we will wrap this up this Sunday morning, and we'll see you all next week, 10:30, out.